Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today's Tuesday, September 1st, Jen. We've got a new month.
We do.
We got to mark that. And hopefully, where's our sun this morning? No sunshine?
It'll probably come out later.
Yeah, it probably will. It's been kind of weird lately. It's like I have to turn on the lights in the morning, and it's weird, you know, because I'm not used to that. It's usually very sunny in the morning. So how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. We have a great guest in the studio. We're going to get to him in a few minutes. And yeah, I'm excited about that. Did you hear that iPhone accounts were hacked? About a quarter of a million of them. Now, doesn't make you feel warm all over?
Well, you mean iCloud or
iPhones. iPhones themselves have been hacked. So, you know, with malware and stuff. So, in other words, they probably have the ability to use your phone.
Got it.
Remotely or something.
Interesting.
You know?
And so do they find out whose phones are hacked? And
I don't know. They're saying it's the largest known Apple account theft caused by malware. So, I'm sure Apple is pretty anxious this morning. Yeah. I mean, it's pretty scary, you know, because the thing is, think about it. I mean, everybody's personal lives is on their phone, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
But so they don't know whose phones have been hacked out of all the phones
that
exist?
No, I don't think so. Or maybe they're not saying it. But the thing is, even if they did, what would they do about it? Send you an email?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
I would like to know if my phone is one of those phones.
Right. I know.
And so it doesn't say whose phones are...
I doubt they would do that. Put out a list of quarter million people. And that kind of gives away...
Not put out a list, but maybe email you your phone has been compromised.
Email everyone, yeah.
Be careful what you write on your phone today.
Right.
Moving forward until we resolve this issue.
Yeah. I don't know. But maybe it's just on jailbroken phones? Yeah. Okay, that's the good news. They're saying it's the malware targets only jailbroken phones, so we don't have to worry about it.
Right.
Good.
Okay, so that makes more sense. That's why I needed to know that information.
Right.
Now I can rest assured.
Now you can rest in
my
peace.
Phone
right.
is not an issue. However, right. those listening now know if you have a jailbroken phone, you might want to not send personal information.
Right. And now they're paid for it for being smart. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, hacking is like, you know, that's really the biggest concern for me, even militarily speaking. It's like, you know, and we've talked about it here before when we had the author and things like this about sort of like the end of the world. But I don't know.
So you think hacking is the end of the world?
No. What I'm saying is I think hacking could create damage, more damage than a bomb.
Okay. Got it. Okay. Now I understand the connection. Okay, so because people can do whatever they want, break into things that you think are secure, they can take control of things that like cause us security.
Well, yeah, if they knock down our power grid or something. You
right,
know?
Okay.
I mean, yeah, like we were talking about that, like an EMP or something.
Right, okay, remember? So power grid.
Yeah, so all that's going to happen through hacking, through computers, you know. They don't really need militaries like we used to. So that's concerning, but, you know, what can I say? We can't sit here and worry about everything, you know?
Right.
Got to worry about each day and putting food on the table. That's what's important and hoping for the best, you know? And being grateful we're not part of all these migrants in Europe. Have you seen that? They're having like a major crisis there. 44,000 people are trying to get into Europe from the... from different areas, from Africa, from Syria. So they've got a crisis there. We'll see what they're going to do. But obviously immigration is a problem all over the place.
Yes.
You know. But when you have people that are refugees, what do you do, turn them back?
Well, I mean, are you referring specifically to also like what happened in Austria? Like those, I think, what is it, 72 people or something like that came up dead because they were stuck in.
Well, yeah, I guess that's part of the whole story,
right? But that was the most recent, I think, that I heard of.
Okay, because yesterday they were actually showing live reports of people or families trying to cross the border. They put like set up special camps for them and stuff, refugee camps.
Yeah. And they've been smuggling people into countries.
Yeah.
And so the people that are being paid to smuggle them don't care about the lives that they're smuggling. So, like, sometimes because they feel they're going to get caught, they just, like, leave the car on the side of the road. Yeah. And those people end up dying.
Yeah. And that I hear that happens here, too, you know. Maybe, I don't know if with cars, but they, like, leave them in the middle of the desert or something and let them just go, you know.
Yeah.
They call them coyotes, right, here.
Oh, I don't know. But yeah, that's a terrible thing to call somebody. Yeah,
the traffickers. No, the traffickers are...
called coyotes?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
Not the people that try, yeah, to get through. All right. Well, this is going to be a short week for us. I'm looking forward to that, actually. Should be pretty cool. And, yeah. And that's it. So let's bring in our guest now. We have Mr. Carlton Wilburn in the studio. Welcome to the show.
Hello, sir. How are you?
Good, good.
It's good to see you again.
Yes, I know. You too, because it's really exciting because we've known each other for a while,
yeah,
but we haven't seen each other in a long time.
When I actually had my own show on LA Talk Radio.
Exactly.
Yeah, and with Tara Gray.
Yeah, with Tara Gray. That's right. Exactly right. Yeah.
What did you guys talk about?
Our show was called No Limits, and so it was consciousness raising with entertainment. And so we'd have in different guests and we'd be on hot topics, but do it from a spin of an elevated perspective.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. It was fun stuff. And
what does that mean? Elevated perspective?
Well, you know, I think most of the time when we hear people's points of view, it generally is the collective kind of grave angle.
Right.
So what we were trying to do was flip the switch and speak about the same button issues, but with a bit more light and a bit more elevation to it, so that there's a bit more possibility and right, a lot more hope to what looks crazy.
I see. Yeah. Are you pretty spiritual?
You know, some might say that I am. I mean,
you've only studied everything.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I definitely have my cycles where I meditate and do things like that. You know, I fast probably 2-3 times a year.
How long do you do a fast for?
It depends. The longest time, you know, doing sort of the one that most folks know about, which is the Master Cleanse, mm-hmm, is a 10-day. I've done that. I've never gone longer than 10. But, you know, I generally will do 7 for sure. I don't do less than 7.
Okay. So yeah, between 7 and 10.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, why would you go with the Master Cleanse? I mean, is that like for, I don't see that you have weight problems or anything.
No. So check it. Most of the times that I do a cleanse, especially when I do the Master, because most people do the Master so that they can lose weight. Not really my focus. I like to do it because the Master Cleanse is a liquid diet exclusively for 7 days. So I do it for the discipline of the brain. Just so I can prove to myself that I can, you know, go the distance, be around food, all that, and not cave in. So it's really usually a thought process, psychology building kind of thing for me.
Right. Very interesting.
The very first time that I actually did a fasting, I consciously chose to do it on Thanksgiving because I thought it would be really, you know, an interesting challenge to see if I could smell it everywhere I went, see every ad and media thing about it, and on the day when everybody's going to do it, and I didn't do it. And I actually went to a house that had food, but I drank. And it was, again, it was like, how big is my will?
I like it.
And I made it through, and it was good.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Totally.
Pretty challenging.
Yeah,
the
Thanksgiving,
whole week,
man.
Without eating. Wow.
Yeah, yeah. I ain't doing it this year, I can tell you that.
Yeah, I mean, I could give up the week of eating, but I don't know if I could give up Thanksgiving. Yeah. That's once a year. But I understand why you would do that, because it is that holiday. So
Yeah, and so.
It is discipline, you know? I mean,
it is.
Yeah, you show it to yourself that, hey, I can do it, you know?
Sure.
I don't have to succumb to my physical needs, let's say.
Yeah.
Because that's what the body really wants. I mean, you know, the body always has to come first.
No, Thanksgiving is gluttony.
Thanksgiving is gluttony. Traditionally, that is true.
Yeah. Let's be honest. You're saying no to, like, the best meal of your life. So I respect you for giving that up.
Yeah, you know. Because I also believe, like, I can make the same meal the day after.
Right.
You know, or a week later. And so, yeah.
Did Thanksgiving fall on the seventh day? Or, like, was it somewhere in between of your 7 days?
Okay, Jen, that's really complicated.
It's too early in the morning.
Yeah, honey, that's a lot of math. I didn't have coffee for that yet.
You know what? That would be cool to, like, end it the day before Thanksgiving, and then Thanksgiving was the first day you could start eating.
Oh, wow.
But your body would probably just shut down.
Exactly. Yeah. You'd go into shock, you know?
Just be overload.
Exactly. Cool. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know if I would say that I consider myself spiritual. You know, I do things that are within that realm.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's cool. So you are.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. I'll accept
that.
No,
we just need to understand.
We have to label you.
Yeah. Oh, thank you very much for putting me in a box.
Yeah. Exactly.
No, I mean, what we're saying is you're not just in the material world. I mean, obviously, you have a lot more than that. And now, are you originally from L.A.?
No, I was born in Chicago.
Really?
Yeah.
You know what? It's so funny because I told myself this morning, I said, I'll bet you I remember correctly, and he's from Chicago.
You're spot
and
on.
And you know what? It's like, that's why I asked you.
Yeah.
You know, I was so sure.
Yeah, I'm from Chicago, but I have actually, June 7th is my anniversary date of arriving in L.A., and I've now been here officially 26 years, so.
Wow.
Yeah, which is kind of amazing. And what's fascinating is that only about last year did it really start to register the actual amount of time. You know, before I'm just sort of like in the run of it, in the machine, doing the thing. And then all of a sudden I was like, wow, dude, you've been here 25 years. Like, that's a long time.
Yeah.
It doesn't really feel like that. You know, I think mainly because I've been able to travel quite a bit since I've been here. Work takes me out maybe 2-3 months in a different place. So it's broken it up. You know, it feels, I guess, really like it's been about 10 or 11 years.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Okay, so because you accomplished quite a bit.
I've been very blessed out here. Yeah, this town's been really good to me, which also goes to, so I've been here 26 years. About 2 years ago, I was at an appointment. I was meeting a female. We're sharing kind of what we do and all these things. And she says, so where are you from? I said, I'm from Chicago. And she's like, oh, because you're telling me all these things that you've done in L.A., and obviously the town's been really good to you. And then she said, imagine how it would be if you put a ring on it. And I was like, what? Put a ring on it. And it flipped the game for me. I mean, L.A.'s always been good to me. It was an easy transition. I've had no issues with L.A. But the way that she framed that, what I really got was that I had really been here all this time using L.A. I'd never taken ownership of it as mine.
Really?
And when she said put a ring on it, I saw it as a relationship. And I thought, you know, if I'm with somebody and we've been together for 20 years and I want you to cook for me and clean for me and all kinds of other fun things for me. But every time we go to a party, I say, you're just my friend. Like, nobody would really be really That's open true. To that or want to serve you in a greater way. So even though it's been 26 years from that 2-year moment, it's made L.A. even more beautiful and exciting to me. So that's very kind of cool.
So you developed a relationship with the city.
Yes.
So to speak.
She's now mine officially. My love is Los Angeles.
But that's true. You know, I mean, I had a certain point in my life where a pretty low time, but I was blaming everything on L.A. You know, L.A. sucks this, L.A. sucks that. And I realized that it really has to do with you. You know, if you're okay inside, it really, for the most part, it doesn't matter where you live, you know. You just have to embrace. And that's the thing. I mean, I'm saying to myself, L.A.'s got everything, you know. Mm. I mean, we really have everything here. So how can somebody not be happy here? But what happens is people come with dreams and high expectations, and I think then they get disappointed, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're 100% right. The thing that I became more present to is all the wealth that's here, all the options. And, you know, I think that I've been, I guess I can say, kind of blessed to not have an issue with L.A. because I get that it ain't an L.A. issue, it's a people issue. Mm-hmm. Have I had issues with some people in L.A. in 26 years? 100% I have. But that's not the city, you know. Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I've exactly. been able to separate the two, and I think that that's kind of saved me in a way from getting jaded
right.
out here and all of that. So.
Yeah, plus people, you know, just give reputation to the city and stuff. And some people, you know, they'll like generalize, oh, the people in L.A., you know, they're mm-hmm. like too self-involved, too this, too that. But I've discovered a lot of great people in this town, you know, and I'm saying, what's wrong with this?
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with this place. People come from all over. Amazing stuff. A lot of diversity and
yes.
stuff. What else do you need, you know?
So where are you from, Sam?
Israel.
Israel originally.
Right.
And you've been here for how long?
Almost 40 years.
Wow, fantastic.
Yeah, so I really own this town.
Yes, you do. And Jen, you're from where?
Miami.
Miami.
Yeah.
And how much time here?
8 years.
How's it feel for you?
Home.
Just simply home?
That's it.
Instantly? Like the transition was smooth?
Pretty smooth because I have family here.
Okay.
Also, so... And friends that I either knew already or made right away.
Nice.
And so I have like a good basis of people in my life.
Good.
Where the other people that are here are just like, it's for me, it's like the Truman Show. They're the extras in my life. And so,
I like that.
Thanks. That's a little self-involved in what we're talking about here. But at the same time, they don't bother me because like they're not, I don't care if there's traffic. That's right. Not affecting me.
I so get where you're at yeah. with that. I truly do.
Like, I'm in my car. You're in your car. Why yeah. are you giving me the finger? Do your thing. I'll do my thing.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And I just block it out.
Yeah.
And so that's how, for me, this is home. Like, I have blue skies. I have a job. I have friends. I have family.
So yeah. that sounds like a fairly zen-y spiritual way to come at being here. Do you consider yourself spiritual?
I do.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
Hence the peacefulness in your eyes right now.
Thank you.
I get it. I'm yeah. just saying.
Yeah.
How you doing?
Hey.
No, okay. And pause.
So we were talking about work and everything. Tell us
yes.
a little bit about what it is that you do.
I do a lot of different things. You know, I came out here, again, when I arrived, I was out here to start my career, to take my acting career, my dancing career to the next level. In Chicago, where I'm from, I'd been in the premier company there called Hubbard Street Dance Company. And that was great, and that company still exists. And then I came out here, got on some pretty high-profile tours, did the Madonna tour, which was the Blonde Ambition tour at the time, which was 1990. I got invited back in 93 to do the Girly Show. And that, you know, the Blonde Ambition tour in and of itself with Truth or Dare, the documentary and all that really opened up a lot of doors for me, which became my acting career, which is really why I came out here initially. And so then I've, you know, been a series regular in a couple of shows and done a large amount of the one-hour dramas that happen. And my world is still quite rich in that. And cut to, then I started writing. And I started writing poetry initially. Then I published my first book in 2007, which is called Front and Center, How I Learned to Live There. And that is my autobiography, you know. And basically, I call that book my getting free. You know, I was taking a look at my life, all that I had accomplished, but also a lot of what I felt like I was not able to do because of what life had done to me and what I had done in life. So I needed to basically wash my hands and call a spade, and I could now go and do my thing. So the first book came out in 2007. There were a lot of personal development themes in that. I positioned that book so that it could really get me on the speaking circuit and get me into all of that realm and begin to launch my work as a life coach. And so in that book with the personal development themes, a lot of what I kept hearing from people was that, oh my gosh, I wish I had some of those guideposts for myself.
Right.
So then in 2011, I dropped my official life coaching curriculum, which is workbook format called I Am Empowered, Igniting Freedom, Courage, and Healing. Very comprehensive, based around 8 different principles, all of that. And that was, you know, had me more traditional podium format, soft workshops. But I really couldn't quite find my solid groove, right. like the really why me, why Carlton, out of all the life coaches that exist in the world, throughout L.A. And what's interesting is, do you guys know a pretty prominent motivational speaker named Anthony Robbins?
That guy.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So one of his main coaches got wind of me found my I Am Empowered or my umbrella website and basically became a coach to me. And so he was the one that kept probing me the question of why you don't settle with this sort of traditional, oh, I've had a dent story and everybody has. Right. And so then it's interesting. Every time I tell this story, I forget. The reality is that the coaching model that I have right now, which is called Dance Formation, which is what we're really here today to talk about, mm-hmm. is the remodel, the rebrand of my coaching program, where I have literally finally found my niche. I built that curriculum in 2013, but the reality is that it got downloaded to me in 1999. There's this amazing woman out here in LA named Reverend June Gatlin. She's an oracle. And there are very prominent people that run massive global corporations that not only attribute, they don't attribute the level of what they're doing to her, but literally the lane of the business model that they're in. And so her work is always about helping people find out on earth what your divine work is supposed to be.
Oh, so how do you get her?
I get her info. Yeah, so she downloaded that. I was completely resistant. She gives you a recording of it. You have accountability exercises and things to research and people to find out about, and I was crying and all emotional. I didn't want to have anything to do with it. But I was also aware that it was profound enough that I couldn't leave it alone.
Right.
Incrementally over the years, I'd do a little piece of the research. I kind of do a little bit of something. I'd get a business card done, but I wouldn't really, really do nothing. And then in 2013, you know, I really heard God say to me, look, you can keep doing all this other stuff, you're acting and all these other things, getting the accolades. But if you don't, what I literally heard was that if you don't do that thing I told you to do, you will forever be unrest. And I felt it because as I was doing all these other things, 2-3 months later, 6 months later, a little nudging, a little pinching on my shoulder, well, what about that other thing? You really built it out? Yeah, did it up. Yeah. So I heard it and I felt the truth of it. So then I spent the end of 2013 building the curriculum. It was finished by December. January of 14, I launched my first event here in Los Angeles of Dance Formation. And then I took a 5-day retreat to Hawaii last summer. And so here we go.
Well, you sure know how to live, man.
No, you know.
Yeah, there you go. So you're obviously very creative. You have a lot of energy you need to put out in forms of poetry and writing. Mm-hmm. And now, so explain to us what a life coach is. What do you do?
The simple way to explain it to people, you know, most people know the know what a therapist does. You know, right. You sit with someone and it's a talking head session.
Right.
You talk out, they listen. They ask you a couple questions, but it really is about you exposing what's going on for you, and they hold the space for you. A life coach does that component, but then they also add in strategic activity to help you get from point A to point B. So rather than you just talking, they give you actual accountability projects and things to do in your life. So if I've got issue with my mom or my daddy, then they give you exercises. Mm-hmm. They give you assignments, basically. That's what a life coach does.
I see.
It's
okay.
A strategy positioning to help you take whatever issue you're having from the grave to the light.
Yeah.
What kind of training or education goes into that profession?
It, you know, it depends on the life coach that you ask. I mean, I've done a lot of different training, got certificates through Landmark Education, done Kabbalah for 2 years. I've been a Bible follower for a bunch of years now. So my work as a life coach is really a mosaic of activities that I've engaged over the
right.
years.
And using a lot of life wisdom and stuff that you've
well, listen,
found
I mean,
along with you.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's funny. I mean, it's not really funny, but I, you know, my sort of way at becoming a life coach, I'm an African-American man. For those of you who can't see my face, I'm chocolate. So, you know, I'm generally sort of thought of as like the chocolate Dr. Phil. Because I can be a bit in your face, but also inside of that, I really lay down a lot of what my own challenges and journey has been. And I say to people, you know, all the time, I don't speak my examples for for you from the side of my neck. I know what it looks like to have massive dreams, massive visions for your life, and you haven't yet seen them come forward. And I'm not talking about career and all those things that are like the razzle-dazzle things. I'm talking about trauma, you know, going back and giving you some insight. A lot of what hinged on me resolving and being able to have a solid backbone, I was molested as a child from 8 to 13. Ended up having to deal with all that, finding some peace inside of that. I'm a gay man. I had a lot of issue about my sexuality. I was one of those dudes that was on the DL, down low if you don't know what that means, for a long time as well. Had to finally find peace about that. Came through a family where my dad was an alcoholic, and I watched him literally leave my mom with black eyes and fractured ribs. How do you make peace about all that? So I know what it's like to witness things, to experience things that are stuck, and I know how to help you get to the other side for where I live today. Yeah. Absolutely.
Wow. So your past is not as rosy as it might seem.
No.
Because now you've obviously come a long way. You
yeah.
know? You seem like a pretty together, happy man. Right
well, you now, know, so. Sam, what's nice, and I appreciate you, thank you for acknowledging that, I feel grateful now that I can even speak about those heavy issues from a place of sort of levity and not, because there was a time when I couldn't do that. And every time I talked about it, it was very, you know, I was still in it.
Right.
So I'm just grateful that I have been given the ability to be disciplined enough to do the work, because we all have a choice, you know, and you could not be in the work. I really say, you know, that my courage to face it is something bigger than me. You know, I was given the gift of courage, is the way that I frame it.
Yeah.
It is not for me to be all boasted up about myself and, yeah, yeah, Carlton, you're amazing. You work so hard. Yeah, there's some degree of that. I was also anointed with an ability to be focused.
Yeah.
And here we
That's good. I mean, you're being grateful and everything, you know, but you got to give yourself more credit. You know, obviously all these things are something that has to come out of you, you know what I mean?
Sure.
Come from you. And, yeah, you know, I mean, you said that you really, that you worked on it. You know, you've got all this stuff.
And so. I'm still working on it.
Right. Yeah.
Exactly. It's an ongoing process.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it never ends. I know.
Yeah.
I know. So it's interesting. So you've been dancing, what, most of your life?
Oh, my gosh. Yes. I started dancing, I guess, professionally when I was 13.
Wow.
My very first job, this is funny, my first job, my brother, my oldest brother, Bobby, and I had in Chicago, we were teaching kiddie disco lessons at bar mitzvahs at a nightclub downtown in Chicago.
Wow.
Go figure. So basically, we would show up. The little kids would be there for their event, and we would show them some disco steps and how to do the hustle and how to do the bus stop. And then we would actually perform something. So we had to choreograph our own thing. And so that's when I started. And then I joined high school. And this is also very interesting, you know, just trying to look at how all things are divinely guided. You know, I ended up at a magnet school in Chicago, Whitney Young Magnet High School. And I ended up there towards the tail end of my freshman year of high school. I had planned to go to school in Florida. My dad had family there. I went down there my freshman year, well into the first year. It was a nightmare. I wanted to come home. Called my parents. In 2 days, they sent me a plane ticket, but it was the middle of the school year. Scramble, scramble. They didn't want me to go to the school in my neighborhood. It was too bad. Long story, my mom kept in touch with my eighth grade teacher, Carolyn Curry, my first angel. She said, let me see what I can do to find another school for you to go to. She knew a woman named Diane Brooks, my second angel, who was running the dance department at Whitney Young Magnet High School. And normally, you either get into a magnet school, you have to either do academic testing or prove your adeptness as an artist.
You've auditioned.
Exactly. Yeah.
I went to a magnet school for high school theater. And
okay, got it.
It was like musical theater, I think.
Yeah, so by the time I came back, I had missed the academic testing, so the only way possibly in would be through the dance department. And this woman, Diane, didn't know me from Adam, but she basically said, let me meet him. I'll work with him over the summer. I will teach him the audition piece that he'll have to do in the fall.
Wow. Yeah.
But here's what was fascinating. So by the time September comes around, I then, what my life is now, had to be proven then, which is my acting skills and my dancing skills. Because at the audition, I had to pretend like I didn't know her. Right. And I had to pretend that I didn't know the audition. Because yeah. I need to be learning it as if I'm getting it for the first time.
Right.
And fake all that way through. At any rate, it all worked. And so I started professional training at Whitney Young Magnet High School.
Very cool.
Yeah. And then I joined Hubbard Street, got my apprenticeship with them when I was 17.
Now, was it unusual for a boy to get into dancing at the time, or were there other boys like you?
There were, yeah. Right. I mean, you know, it's far different today.
Yeah.
You know, back then there was a much lower percentage of guys doing it. But yeah, I mean, when I got there, I think there were probably maybe three or four other guys that were solid.
So you must have been a star. Because if there's only a few guys in the program, then
I think they just needed some guys, and and I just happened to be one that showed up, and they're like, "Get them fucking in." So, but you know, but it worked, and so what's interesting about it when I look at my career as a dancer, which also plays into dance formation, I never really chose to be a dancer. It wasn't like I said, oh, mom and dad, I want to go to dancing school. No, dancing became a fix-it for something that was broken. The lifestyle that I had in Florida was not right. We don't want them to go to the crazy school in our neighborhood.
Right.
How are we going to fix it? Get them into this dance school.
Yeah.
And the more that I start looking at how to position myself as a life coach that made sense, I started looking at what's worked for me. And dancing has always, even though I've kind of like L.A., as I share the story about not embracing it, I've had a very love-hate thing with my dance career.
Really? Wow.
Even though I've had, you know, very glorious opportunities and once-in-a-lifetime opportunities, I didn't ever want to own the identity of being a dancer. But the fact of the matter is, every time I needed my life to shift, whenever I kind of leaned into dance, something would jump off.
Really?
100%.
Yeah.
So then as I started looking at how to structure out the curriculum for dance formation, I just started looking at, wow, this has really been the fact for you. You know, when you've had to do this, you exercise that. You brought in this component when you had to deal with this issue. Hence, here we are today.
Yeah.
And so what did the Oracle say to you when she gave you that information in 1999?
Great question. What she basically said, it wasn't called dance formation back then. What she basically said, and what she basically said, I get all revved up, so let me slow down. What she said was in the lines of me doing a movement ministry, a dance as a ministry. And I was like, you know, the way that I saw that was like people at church, and they stand on the stage and they wave their arms side to side. And I was like, that fucking shit ain't right for me. So, you know, so I was just like completely like, no, 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 no. And I also, again, I still was not really celebrating this God-given gift that I had. So I just didn't want to do it. I didn't want to be attached to being a dancer. I wanted to be an actor. I wanted to be thought of as the straight dude that's doing action movies and all of that. So, yeah.
Well, but you always had the dance, obviously, to fall back on, and that's probably, do you think that's like your real passion? I mean, it just, it seems like almost like it's an inseparable part of your life.
It absolutely is. Someone asked me, I did an interview in Chicago when I was last there, and they asked me out of all the different things that I do, which is my favorite. And, you know, I'm so grateful that I've been able to, you know, tap into a lot of different creative realms here in LA. But my answer to it was, I don't know that I have a favorite, but the one that has been the biggest backbone for all of them has been dance.
Right.
When I've needed to work on a character as an actor and get into my body and stand in a different way, the awareness that I remember having as a dancer applies. When I need to get myself vocally to another level, if I'm working on a show, I need to sing. I get into my dancing. I push my cardio through dance. So, you know, so that's been there. But Sam, I think to further address your statement, my main thing, even when I look at the earliest times of my creative life, has been about empowering people.
Yeah. And that's why you're doing it now.
Yeah, and dance is one of the is the most critical catalyst for that right now. But my juju is in helping people get to the next level with themselves. I mean, I honestly remember when I was about 8 or 9 years old, I don't remember the exact words that I had, but I know that I had the thoughts of seeing myself as a grown person speaking to thousands of people about, you know, getting them in their power, whatever little words I had as a child. And then cut to, I remember, right?
I love it. I mean, I was just thinking, I'm like, yeah, it is true. Like, you, if you look at your life and you really pay attention, like, it's the thing that keeps coming up and mm-hmm. you don't even notice because it's so natural to you. But what's natural to you is what you should be doing.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
And, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, no, no. Perfect, Jen. And then I remember...
A lot of seconds.
No, it's true. And then when I was about 30, which was a bunch of years ago, I was in my apartment and I was watching MTV. And there was a Behind the Music. MTV had a show called Behind the Music.
I used to love that.
Right?
Yeah, that's great. A wrap. Miss Britney Spears. That's all I remember. Yeah. And I'm always like, yeah, they were amazing.
Totally.
All that, those hours of work, man.
And I remember them doing some, I can't remember who they were interviewing. I was in my bedroom, walking from the bedroom to the bathroom as I'm watching this interview. And it was somebody that had a lifestyle kind of like what I'm doing now. And I hadn't written anything then or anything. And I remember leaning on the hallway wall and I started sobbing because I knew that this was the work that I was supposed to do and I couldn't figure out an outlet for it. Right. Like it was really like this thing that was just torturing me. And that's when I really started to write my poetry. So my poetry has a bit of sort of, again, raising consciousness, kind of empowerment things to it. And that's where I started.
Yeah. Well, we're going to get to talk a little bit about dance formation. But I just wanted to ask you, you said you studied the Kabbalah for a year or two, right?
I did for 2 years.
And that would really, I mean, that makes you aware of some things that you weren't aware of before, right?
100%.
I mean, it really gives you a different perspective on life. And it's amazing because I went through it for a year, and I was eating that stuff up. You know, I read every book I could.
Yeah.
Went to those classes and stuff when I lived in Israel for a year. That was like, 20 years ago or so.
Yeah.
But it definitely, I mean, there were some things that really transformed my life when I started looking at things, because at one point I felt like my entire life is chaos, the whole world is chaos, there's no order to anything. But then when I started getting spiritual and everything, I saw there's definitely a lot of order in the universe, you know, just that you have to have a different perspective on what's going on. You know?
Yeah, and really what, you know, I think the foundation of Kabbalah, at least as far as how the takeaway that I got, is to accept the responsibility for your life, that everyone at the end of the day is responsible for what their life looks like.
Right.
How it shapes
out. That's important that people understand that.
Listen, you know? It's important. It has definitely served me, but it's also super challenging because there's some stuff that comes up that's hella crazy.
Right.
And you really got to go, wow, how really did I ask for this? Or was my brain holding a thought long enough that caused this thing to be manifested? But, you know, when I look at when my life was the darkest, you know, I hit a, you know, after having some really big highs, my real big bottom was 1999-2000. And my way out from that was, Sam, exactly what I got from Kabbalah. And I thought, okay, dude, your brain, if it be true that you caused your life to crumble in all these kinds of ways and all this stuff fell out, then you have to also have the ability to lift it up and shape shift it.
Exactly.
And I just drilled into that focus. And, you know, you got to sweat and you got to feel exhausted. And sometimes you feel burdened. And this is one of the things that I really like to make clear inside of this empowering conversation. It's a great title. You know, it sounds really great to be about that work. But you need to really let people know that it's not a comfortable journey.
Right.
And it makes sense why so many people have not tapped into it. Because you got to call yourself out 24/7. We've not had a culture as an American society, as a human culture in general, to really go deep inside ourselves. You know, so much of our world is pointed at the person next to you, driving next to you. That's why this person, they hurt you, all this stuff. So it's, you know, I'm just grateful that I get to remember that. And you got to breathe through that process.
Right.
And, you know, over time, you'll unfold and unfold. I like to call it an onion peeling.
Yeah.
You get peeled.
Exactly, exactly.
Further and further.
You have peels all around you. That's how they, that's the term they use in the Kabbalah. Dance Formation, tell us a little bit about this. You have a campaign, right?
Yes.
A fundraising campaign.
I do.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Dance Formation is my, again, it's the rebranded version of my coaching program. What I've been able to do is create the first ever movement-based life coaching program. So it's based in dance, and it's merged with the tacticals from my workbook.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
See, now that's innovative.
Yeah.
You know, right. Now, what if somebody didn't like to dance, and they were, like, terrified of dancing?
Well, first of all, somebody has to be willing to move their body. This is not a thing that is for dancers. Inside of some of the testimonials that I have, people express that. It's for anybody. The way that I design the curriculum, it's a three-phase process. And Dance Formation, in its ultimate form, works as a three-day event. So I drip out one phase per day. There's a move it out phase, which is about first taking a look at where the mashugana is. Where all
mashugana.
Exactly. Where all the stuff is that has you locked and bound and whatever. We do workbook exercise. We put information on its feet. Then we go to the move it in phase, the move it up phase. Inside of each phase, I have three movement components that are strategized improv exercises. The purpose of that is to get the people that are not naturally movers or dancers at all to find a way to feel safe with themselves and getting engaged in their body in a way that's applicable to their ability. And then I am just guiding them through the information that came up from what they want to take to the next level, what feels stuck. I guide their movement. So by the time we get from day one to day two to day three, they're much more surrendered to themselves as an intention, which then begins to release the information that's been buried.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's what we were talking about, the peels, taking the peels off.
So I do the three improv exercises, and then there's one phase of actual choreography. One exercise of choreography to each phase.
Uh-huh.
The choreography is, you know, I have to say, it's never about getting choreography right. It's about taking a look at what our brain will do when we're up against something challenging. So it's basically just a tool for someone to see how you want to shut down. Now you're starting to say, oh, I can't do it. Interesting. Is that what you say when you need to move your finances?
So you're making people self-aware.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So most people don't even think about, like, why am I not wanting to do something?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if I've got to lose weight, oh, I know I should stop eating, but I can't. Same conversation. It literally, through all the exercises, they get to link and go, you're having the same conversation.
Right.
This is your default.
Right.
And your default doesn't serve you. And off we go.
Right. Well, it's called Dance Formation. And tell people how they can get involved with this.
Absolutely. So I've got a fantastic campaign that's on Indiegogo.
The video is amazing.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Jen. So, yeah, go to Indiegogo/Dance Formation, and you will get to see the video, as Jen spoke about. I've got some really interesting perks for you, which, you know, is one of them is my first book, my second book, some pieces of my poetry. I've got a line of five different T-shirts that are conscious things that you get to wear in your body. You get those. You get to have me as a coach. One of the perks will take you to Hawaii for the next event that we're doing next year. Things like that. So,
well, very cool. So you've been very productive.
Why, yes, Sam. I have.
Well, it seems like
that. What does the money go toward that you're
Yeah, absolutely. And for all of you, when you get onto the campaign page, again, if you go to Indiegogo/danceformation, I have a list of where the funds go. Basically, I'm looking to raise $25,000 that will go to target three new markets that I want to tap. One is my hometown, Chicago. I've got interest in a large way for the New York market. And surprisingly, I've got a lot of interest in Amsterdam. So I want to get over there. Right. And then more specifically, I've got a bullet list inside the campaign page that shows you some of it's for flights, some of it's for hotels, some of it's for renting space. I've been a one-man shop. I need an assistant.
Yeah.
All of. So
yeah,
I've got it pretty laid out for you.
Yeah. So yeah. You need like a team and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Very cool. Very cool.
It's time to go to the next level. And what I feel excited about, even though, you know, Sam, better than anybody, building up your own thing, it's challenging even though you're excited to do it. But I'm glad that I'm finally in the move to do what the Oracle told me to do a bunch of years ago.
Right.
I finally made the commitment, and I'm driving it as far as I can. So here we are.
Good for you. And very inspiring to everybody who is listening.
Thanks.
Carlton Wilburn, and we're getting a call coming in. I think it's Casey, but we're running out of time completely.
Are we already?
So, yeah, just what? About. So if Blue you guys eye. Want to find out more information, you can go to the campaign page. Also, the website, mydanceformation.com. You guys can find out more information on that. And really get involved. I mean, it sounds like an exciting thing. You give it a nice brand name,
you know.
And everything. So you've obviously given it some thought and all that.
And you get great perks if you donate.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, sounds good.
Yeah.
So how can people get a hold of you? Like social networks?
Things yeah, like I've got my own Facebook page, which is Carlton Wilburn USA on Facebook. I've got a Dance Formation page on Facebook as well. They can find me there. And if you want to actually call into Dance Formation and find out about getting me to do some events for you or in your town, you can call me at 888-750-5322. That's the business line. Again, it's 888-750-5322, or shoot an email to info@mydanceformation.com.
Sounds good. Carlton, thank you so much for joining us.
Sir, thank you so much, Sam. It's
very
great
inspiring,
to see you.
And I'm really glad to see that you've made quite a progress in your life. You know, I mean, it's like you keep moving forward. I mean, you came across as very successful when we first met and stuff, and you're just moving forward. So
thanks,
more power to you.
And thank you, Jen. Very nice to meet you
today.
Very
nice meeting you, too.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Everybody, thank you all for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.